that this black boy, with his nose busted and his inside soured and his two buddies standing behind him waiting to see what he would do, couldn't afford to pass up the chance. "Oh, bend your head down here, George." The guys were already looking to where McMurphy stood a couple of men down the line. "Oh, come on, George." Martini and Seafelt were standing in the shower, not moving. The drain at their feet kept choking short little gulps of air and soapy water. George looked at the drain a second, as if it were speaking to him. He watched it gurgle and choke. He looked back at the tube and the black hand before him, slow mucus running out of the little hole at the top of the tube down over the pig iron knuckles. The black boy moved the tube forward a few inches, and George listed farther back, shaking his head. "No, none of that, Stoof." "You're gonna have to do it, Rub-a-Dub," the black boy said, sounding almost sorry. "You're gonna have to. We can't have the place crawling with bugs now, can we? For all I know, you got bugs on you a good inch deep." "No," George said. "Oh, George, you just don't have no idea. These bugs, they're very, very teeny, no bigger than a pinpoint. A man, what they do is they get you by the short hair and hang on and drill down inside you, George."
"No bugs," George said.
"Ah, let me tell you, George, I've seen cases where these awful bugs actually..." "Okay, Washington," McMurphy said. The scar where the black boy's nose had been broken was a twist of neon. The black boy knew who'd spoken to him, but he didn't turn around. The only way we knew he'd even heard was by the way he stopped talking and reached up a long gray finger and drew it across the scar he'd got in that basketball game. He rubbed his nose a second, then shoved his hand out in front of George's face, scrabbling the fingers around.
"A crab, George, see? See here? Now you know what a crab look like, don't you? Sure, now you get crabs on that fishing boat. We can't have crabs drilling down into you, can we, George?"
"No crabs," George yelled. "No."
He stood straight and his brow lifted enough so we could see his eyes. The black boy stepped back a ways. The other two laughed at him.
"Something the matter, Washington, my man?" the big one asked. "Something holding up this end of the procedure, my man?"
He stepped back in close.
"George, I'm telling you, bend down. You either bend down and take this stuff, or I lay my hand on you."
He held it up again. It was big and black as a swamp.
"Put this black, filthy, stinking hand all over you."
"No hand,"
George said, and lifted a fist above his head as if he would crash the slate skull to bits, splatter cogs and nuts and bolts all over the floor. But the black boy just ran the tube up against George's belly button and squeezed, and George doubled over with a suck of air. The black boy squirted a load in his wispy white hair, then rubbed it in with his hand, smearing black from his hand all over George's head. George wrapped both arms around his belly and screamed.
"No, no!"
This book is continued on Disc 8.